Allegedly.
Good morning, you guys. We were just on live, so if you're catching us back on, it's because we want to be. We wanted to chat with you guys about a couple things, let you know of a few announcements that are happening, and then also talk about a common occurrence that's been popular in our support groups where people are talking about their exes coming inside their homes. I had a client like this. Leah's had some things going on in her support group as well. But let's first talk about some things that are popping up. As always, you guys, as always, when you're catching the replay, let us know you were here. Give us a hi and tell us what your favorite Halloween costume is for your children. Mm. What has been your favorite Halloween costume thus far, including this year, of what it is going to be? I think personally for me, my kid's favorite would be me personally, I'm going to just say it right now. My mom was the shit when I was a kid. We had the best fucking homemade costumes when I was little. Like none of this packaged shit from like Spirit, you know, costumes. My mom was like whipping around like, you know, huge things from scratch. Like burlap sacks, we became Indians. We were M&Ms one year. We were raisins one year. Like California raisins, you know, like I was a nun one year. Like everything was homemade. And then I think of the outfits that I've made my children. My best costume for only one of my children that I think was badass was I made Walker a bat. And so like he had a black nose and a hat that I glued like two things on, but I took an umbrella, a black umbrella, and I sewed it. I cut the umbrella in half and I sewed it like from the sleeve and down. So when he opened his arms, he had like the wings.
Yeah. That's creative.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think I've made any. I did like when she was one, I think she dressed up as Cookie Monster and Elmo's head was her like bucket where you put candy in. So that was really cute. But I don't really make any. And this year, so my daughter's 12. She just wants to, we went to Walmart, we bought our own candy. We're going to stay home, eat candy and watch Halloween movies. And I am all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. When they run out of the age, it's bittersweet. Cause then they can like just do the door for you. We live in a really populated subdivision. So our doorbell will ring 5,100 times that day. But the two littles are going as Sonic and shit. What's the black one? Shadow. Shadow and Sonic. I don't know either. They're just, literally they put on the costume and like zip it up and they're ready. Like it's the simplest fucking thing in the world.
Look cute.
But you guys, it's the beginning of the month almost. As you know, I do a parenting plan workshop. So if you guys are in need of a parenting plan and understanding what's going into a parenting plan, join the workshop. It's $97. You get me literally for 2 hours for 3 days. That's 6 hours for $97. I teach for an hour and then I do a Q&A for an hour. So if that is something you're interested in, hint the link wherever you're watching and go do that. Participate in that. Just get an education. That is what that parenting plan workshop is about. I want you to be informed in the mediation. I want you to be informed when you talk to your ex. I want you to be informed when you talk to your attorney and not waste time talking to an attorney that's $300 an hour. Talk to me and get some education about what is a parenting plan. Can I give you legal advice? Absolutely not. But what I can give you is knowledge, and knowledge is power when it comes to building that parenting plan. You don't want to fuck yourself over by picking shit that is going to screw you later or forget about or not having.
We just had a group coaching client say that she had taken your course, right? And that she was so glad she did because of all the detail and how extensive it was. And her attorney had said, I have never seen a parenting plan that was this extensive. Exactly. And it saves you so much money and such a headache because then you don't have to go back to court a million fucking times.
Exactly. Exactly. So we are going to start talking about letting your ex inside your home. We're going to tell a couple horror stories here in a second. But first, we also want to tell you about one more opportunity. You're getting ready to go into the holiday season. And I know for some of you, this might be your first holiday. This might be your second, or it might be your 17th. And it still fucking hurts. We have put our two brains together and we have come up with solutions to not only being alone during the holidays, but also having your kids on a budget and making your own new traditions with your children. So we are putting together a workshop called Surviving the Holidays as a single parent. So if you are just somebody that's like, fuck, I don't know what to do with these kids. I am broke. My ex used to do this with us. I used to have a huge family. Now I don't. All the worries that you have, we are going to cover inside of that holiday workshop. So again, check the link wherever you're watching and get yourself in there. It's two days.
We're doing 2 days. There's going to be so much information. We're diving into how to reduce your stress, how to combat all your financial worries, creating new traditions, how to take care of yourself so that you're not burnt out, how to set boundaries with your family and your ex, how to create new traditions and help the kids. Like maybe you're wondering how the kids are going to be handling the holiday changes and that's adding more stress. So we're going to have a whole designated segment to helping your kids adjust to those new types of holidays. We're also going to help you combat loneliness because I know that that's huge. Like maybe you're going to be alone or maybe this is just the first time you're showing up places as a single person. We're going to help you give you tons of ideas on how to still have a nice holiday, even if you're flying solo. Just creating good, memorable memories for this holiday season. And we're diving into all of it. We're talking like fall break, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, winter break. Like we're going through it all.
All of them. I mean, we're going to cover any holiday that's from the rest of the year right now. We're going to cover. And really a lot of that information you can take into the other ones as well. So the next thing we want to talk to you about is what we've kind of teased you with at the beginning. I know some of you are sitting there saying there is no fucking way my ex would ever be let inside my house. And there's other people out there that are struggling with that decision alone. Like they are like, I don't know what to do. My ex keeps coming in my house. So I'm going to share my story real quick. First, I had a client. He was a gentle soul. He was on the phone with me on a Zoom during a consult. And he said, Sam, one of my biggest issues is I let my ex inside my house because I don't like confrontation. I have multiple kids, one kid of which has special needs. And I think if I, you know, don't, there's going to be an issue. There'll be confrontation. So she comes into my house and she goes through the closet and she picks the clothes that she wants for whenever the kids go stay with her. Cause he's the provider of most things. He's the primary parent. And he's like, and I just don't want her in my fucking house anymore. Now he didn't say fucking because that's not the kind of guy he is. I did, because that's what I think he's wanting to say. He's outside of his skin. He's like, why does she even feel like she should be? Now that he lives in the marital home. So she feels, I'm assuming that that's still her home. That's the kid's home. And why not? We get along great, but they don't. In her eyes, they do, because she's controlling a lot of the narrative. Now, this story is about a man and a woman. Role reverse it if this is your story. Again, we're not about being perfect with the pronouns for all of you. If this goes the opposite way for you, then just play that role in your head. But this goes down to a guy that's letting his ex-wife come into the home. She reads books to her kids. She helps do the snack. She puts the kids down for bed sometimes. She packs whatever clothes. She takes things out of his home and takes them over to her home and doesn't necessarily always bring them back. So that's my story. Before we get into solutions, what is your story of what's been going on?
It's kind of the same. Well, so there's a couple different things. There was a client who's dealing with somebody who is very high conflict and not only doesn't let them into her home, but insists that they go into their home and they pick out the clothes and they do all the things for the kids. And I think what happens is you feel bad, you feel guilty, because in your mind, you're doing what's best for the kids. And so even though your space is being impeded on and there aren't any boundaries and your well-being is being negatively affected, you're thinking, well, I'm supposed to sacrifice all of those things because this is what's best for the kids.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you got divorced.
Yeah,
there's going to be two homes and right. The kids are going to have to adjust, and they will adjust. And for your own mental health, for your own sanity and your well-being, you have to be able to set those boundaries. And every divorce is different. Mm-hmm. You could have an amicable divorce and you get along really well with your ex and you don't mind if they come over and hang and play video games or do whatever. Great. That's you being honest with yourself. But if you're being honest with yourself and you having your ex into your home is impeding on your mental health or your well-being, that's a no for me. That's just a no. And your kids will be fine. You can meet outside. You can meet at a public neutral place. You can decide where the best place to do the exchange is. But having them come into your home, that is your sanctuary.
Yes.
That is your space. And so you deserve to have a safe space where your ex isn't coming in and bringing their energy and starting arguments or getting in your shit. I mean, one of the clients was like saying they were digging through their like kitchen drawers and like going through their shit. Are you like, no,
right?
No, you right. don't need to be putting up with things like
that. You know, even the dad that I was talking about in this story, he had a restraining order against her, like her property. She had called her landlord at her apartment complex and said, do not let him on this property. So the landlord had called this dad, and not like a legal restraining order, but the landlord had called this dad and said, she doesn't want you ever stepping foot on this property. So I don't ever want to see you in the parking lot. I don't want to see you do anything. You can pick the kids up from the curb, blah, blah, blah. But then this same woman comes who doesn't allow him even in the parking lot of her apartment complex. She has the audacity to go into the marital home where he lives and owns. Divorce is finalized. This shit is done. They're divorced. For 4 years, she's been coming inside of this home. And he is just like, he's distraught because he's like, my daughter loves when she gets to come in and read a book. But I'm like, but sir, you don't get to do that back. You know, and I'm not saying anything is ever going to be fair and equal in divorce and co-parenting, because that's a false fucking reality. Never live on that fucking hill, because you will die on it. But the idea that that's the way someone would treat you, that they're going to embarrass you and tell some horror story to a landlord and humiliate you with a phone call forbidding you to come pick up your children at the doorstep. Instead, you have to wait outside of the parking lot complex. But this same person wants to come inside of your home and sit for 20, 30 minutes at a time and then take shit out of your home. I don't care how my kids would react. And I know it's going to be bad. I mean, I told them, your kids are going to have a tantrum. Your kids are going to think, you know, you're the bad guy, because she's been prepping them. I'm sure if she's high conflict, she's been doing her groundwork of saying, you know, it's ridiculous that dad won't let me in the house. It's ridiculous. That's my house too, blah, 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 whatever she wants to say.
Right. But
at some point, like he said, he goes, my mental sanity is wearing, because I get so anxious when she walks in the house of like, what's she going to find? What's she going to say? What's she going to take? I can't say anything because I'm not going to raise my voice in front of the children. I'm not going to tell her no in front of the children. And again, role reverse this as best you need to for your own story. But that feeling, like Leah is saying, that you are going to put your own self aside for your children. I'm here to tell you, that's not going to fare well long term for your children, because what your children are going to watch is, in this story, there's dad putting his feelings aside for mom, because, you know, she is kind of moody. She is kind of grouchy in this story. So therefore, when that child gets pushed by this mother later in life, that child's going to go, well, this is what dad did. Dad just put his feelings aside and let mom control the situation. Let mom come into my dorm room. Let mom come into my room. Let mom control what I wear. Because my dad, I never saw my dad stand up to my mom. So therefore, I can't stand up to my mom. Your kids are watching every fucking thing you do. And for some of you, this is a wake-up call. You're being nice to someone that's treating you like shit, and your kids are watching. So when your kids get treated like shit, not just by this other high conflict parent, but by a boyfriend or by a teacher or by a coach, your kid is going to go, well, I've watched dad do it for years. He lets people walk all over him. I guess that's what I'm supposed to do when somebody's high conflict coming at me. I just bow down. And it's really hard. I did it, and my kids watched it, and it took them a long time to have confidence and stand up for themselves. But the second I started showing them, they showed it too. They modeled the same behavior.
And so, they sense it. Even if you think you're doing a great job at like masking your true feelings, they sense it. They can sense your energy if you're anxious or stressed or angry. Absolutely. And so it's really not doing anyone any favors. You have to protect your peace. No. I mean, how can you show up for your kids if you're constantly sacrificing your own well-being? It's like, it's if you're giving them kind of what's left of you instead of the best of you. And you don't want to be doing that. And you brought up a good point earlier too, about how sometimes I think this is what happens too, is somebody stays in the marital home, and then the person who left still feels like they should have access to it, because that's family home. And again, if that's not the reality in your situation, then no, they don't, you're divorced or separated, or that now becomes your home. That is not this communal area in which you're providing to execute your visitation, you know, with your co-parent. You don't have to do that. And it could even be amicable. And that's where, like, I'll give you an example of my own story. I did not have a high conflict divorce. I was the only one who got an attorney. I did everything through email. I never even met my attorney face to face. It was a pretty cut and dry divorce. We stayed on decent terms. We don't hang out. We're not friends, but, you know, we can manage and co-parent pretty well.
Right.
He had moved 6 hours away, so it became a little bit more difficult for him to visit with her, but he does it the best that he can. But what was happening was, he was coming and driving here, because he doesn't have anything around here. He wanted to come in and hang out with her. So it started with, hey, do you mind if I come upstairs and just set up a video game for her? I was like, okay, fine. And then it turned into, hey, do you mind if I stay for a couple hours and play video games with her? And then I was like, okay. okay, right? Well, my daughter's really excited about this. She really wants to be here. It's not really, you know, I guess that's fine. Then it turned into, do you mind if we come and we hang out and we play video games? And then we're also going to like order Chinese food and bring it back and eat it. And then it was like this whole thing. And I had to really check in with myself because I didn't like it. I didn't want that to happen. But then I'm like, am I being selfish? Am I being confrontational? Am I making this more complicated than it needs to be? My daughter's happy. Should I just do it for her? But then I came to the conclusion of, no, this is my home. This is like where my safe space. I don't even, I'm the type of person who doesn't even really invite company over. Like that, like my home is like I go there to rest and recharge. And like, if you want to hang out with me, we'll go meet somewhere kind of thing. Right. I'm like weird about it. So I was really feeling like I was being impeded on. My space, my boundaries were being crossed. All of it, I didn't like it. So I had to have a very civil conversation. I had to say, listen, I think we need to set some boundaries. I know that it's hard for you because you're driving 6 hours and it's easier for you to just come hang out here. But this is my home. This is my space. This is not the house for your visitation. And so I know it's difficult, but you decided to move 6 hours away, which means it's now your responsibility to figure out how to have that visitation and how to engage and do activities and whatever. It's not my responsibility to manage your visitation with your daughter. I can say, yeah, she's available, but then you have to figure out how to make that happen. You can't just come hang out at my house.
Right.
And luckily he was respectful of my boundaries, but that's just an example of how it doesn't even have to be high conflict. If that's just really how you feel.
Right.
I mean, sometimes the divorce, you just don't even want to see the person. And that's okay. That's valid that you don't want that person in your house, even if you guys are on, you know, good terms. Then be honest with yourself about it and say, this isn't good for you. This isn't healthy. I don't want you here. I mean, you don't have to say it in that way, but you've got to set that boundary. And it's not being mean. You've got to take care of yourself.
Right. So if you are high conflict, you know, step one is sending proper notification to your ex through email, through the app that you're using. And you simply say, as of November 1st, you will no longer be allowed inside this home at this address. Please do all exchanges at the bottom of the porch, in the driveway. Give them a location at which point their stopping point of walking is. And then the next thing you have to do is tell your children, you know, hey, from now on, in this story, going back to the dad and mom, you simply say, hey, kiddo, from now on, mom's going to drop you off at the door and mom's going to pick you up at the door. She's no longer coming inside. When your child says why, you get to say, because we're no longer sharing a home anymore. I don't go inside of mom's home and mom is no longer coming inside my home. And that's it. I don't have to go into when she says, but I want mom to read me a book. Mom can read you a book in the car. Mom can read you a book at her apartment, but mom is not reading you a book. Mom wants to come in and get clothes. Mom can ask for certain clothes if that's what you guys do. And I can pack a bag and it can be ready. The next thing you're going to have to do, which is what this dad had to do, was change the fucking locks. Some of you all have an easy fucking solution right in front of your face, but you're so scared to because you're like, but that's going to cause conflict if they use their key and they can't get in. I mean, literally, this guy's been divorced for 4 years and he's petrified to change locks because he knows the wrath that's going to happen when he does. And he's scared of the wrath, which I totally understand. But change the locks and or have your door locked. And you meet them outside and you meet them on your porch and you wait on your porch for the child to come up and you say, remember the email I sent you? Remember the note I sent you? Well, I want to come inside. Nope, not today, not anymore. And you go inside. You don't have to engage. You don't have to remind. You don't have to give an excuse, a story, whatever. You've already sent it in your email. You've already sent it in your cordial response to them about your space. And I'm telling you, they're going to overreact. They're going to have a fit. They're going to tell your child that you're the devil. They're already doing that. They're high conflict. Anybody of sane mind, like Leah's ex-husband, went, okay. And it was done. It wasn't this battlefield of telling her daughter that she's the devil because dad can't come in the house. And he was like, all right, it was a good thing for a while. It ran its course and now it's over. Because the next part of this, and this is what I asked that dad, what's going to happen when you move on? Because this dad is a catch. You know, he's a primary parent of four kids doing a hellacious job. I said, you're a catch, dude. Do you think your next wife or girlfriend is going to be like, yeah, ole, old lady, come on in, ex-wife. Go ahead, lay on the couch for a little bit. You want me to cook you some fucking popcorn while you're at it? Fuck no. Nobody is going to want that. I mean, that was one thing when my ex-husband and I were getting along. I had to ask Jared, do you mind if he comes in our home? This is Jared's home too. This isn't just my home. You know, do you mind if the father of my children come in this home? And he was like, sure. But I had to ask him. But it's not like he's, you know, sitting his feet up and watching a movie with us. He was coming in, chat for a few minutes, and then out. Now, during our bad season, we've never even been inside each other's home for the first 12 years. 12 years, we were never inside each other's home, not one fucking step inside the threshold of the home. Now, when we got along for those few short 3.5 years, we were in each other's homes. But always knock, always wait, say what you had to say, and we left. We were not hanging fucking out. It wasn't that kind of thing, even in a really good season, because we are divorced. But when you move on with someone and you don't have a boundary, and so you start dating and you're like, hey, by the way, when my kid gets dropped off here in a few hours, my ex is going to come in and go back to the bedroom and pack a bag. And then she's going to sit and read a book, and she might grab something out of the kitchen to eat, and then she's going to leave. Your new girlfriend is going to be like, the fuck? No, I don't think so. So you really got to prepare yourself for that next phase of your life, which is moving on. And whether you're single or you move on, it doesn't matter. You deserve that sanctuary that is your home now, without that anxiety of like, what are they going to say? I mean, my ex-husband was taking pictures of TV boxes. You know, if we got a new microwave, he was taking a picture of it and logging it in his, you know, Excel sheet of how his child support money was being spent. I mean, this is what they do when they come inside a home. This is what they have access when they can see things, is now they're justifying purchases, and their mind works in mysterious ways. You are okay with setting this boundary. So, and even if you get along, you guys, it's not every day do they have to come in. Now, every once in a while, you can be like, hey, it's Halloween, come in. She's not ready yet. Take a look. Let's do her hair together. Come on in. On occasions, absolutely invite them in if that's okay with you and them. That's found like it's like a Dr. Seuss book. But if it's not, you guys, you're okay with having that boundary of no. Before my ex-husband ever allowed me in his home, he'd probably been in my home probably 10 or 15 times before he ever opened his door and said, hey, come on in for a second. I mean, I was like, oh shit, is there a booby trap when I walk in? We were even getting along, and I still was hesitant because it had been 13 fucking years at that point before I'd ever been in his home. I didn't want to be at home, but I was like, okay, he's being nice. I'll walk in. Let's see what happens, you know? And it ran its course. It did its thing for a while, and it was great. But I'm telling you, if you are doing something that's uncomfortable, stop it. You don't have to do shit to make your kids happy. Your kids are happy during your visitation time, and they're happy with that visit. They don't need you to mix. They really don't. That's in your mind that you're, oh, my kid is struggling because we're divorced and separated and they have two homes and we don't talk and we don't hang out and we don't do anything together. That's a fucking delusion that you've believed. That's not true. Your kids are okay. They really are. And if you're high conflict, believe me, I'll tell you, my own kids have told me, we didn't like when you talked. We didn't like when you stood together. We didn't like when you were in each other's homes. It made us uncomfortable. And even my daughter would say later now, she'd say, I was so uncomfortable when dad was here because this is my place and I get to be who I am here. And then him coming in, I didn't get to be who I wanted to be when I was here because he was here. And I was like, I never even thought about that. I never even thought about that, that he got to see your space. One time when she got her wisdom teeth pulled, again, I thought I was being nice. I was like, hey, come on in. It was the first time he was ever in our home. I said, come on in. You can go check on her. She's in her bedroom. We were not in a good season. And he walked in and saw her. And this is what I saw the whole time. She's over here the whole time. He's checking out her room, doing like a ch-ch-ch-ch-ch in his mind, taking pictures of everything. Could give two shits about her sitting on that bed. And then she said, why did you do that? And I was mortified. I was like, I thought I was being nice. He's your dad. You just got your wisdom teeth pulled. I thought. Nope. I thought wrong. She's like, this was my room, mom. You're right. I felt like an asshole. I didn't even ask her, you know? So just got to think, you know, sometimes you're playing a narrative in your head that this is what's best for my child. And it's not. It's not. It's not. So boundaries. So how many of you listening to this let your ex inside your home and are rethinking it now? Because I'm already seeing on my TikTok over here, people are like, fuck, I needed this today. This is what I needed. This is what I needed. Shit.
I have posted in my group, and for those of you watching over here, you can join our support groups, is who we're talking to. But I had posted in, you know, who do you let your ex into your house? And most of the answers were, fuck no. No. That was most of the answers that people were saying. And yeah, I mean, I think we have this idea in our mind, and I don't know where the hell this comes from. Maybe this comes from movies. But like, when we get divorced, we think in our mind that we should be able to all be this like nice little family unit of some kind. And then when that's not happening, you feel guilty, or you feel shitty, or you feel like it's your fault, or you have to sacrifice and do everything you can to try to make that work. But that's not the majority,
right?
That is not usually what happens. And it can happen. It's possible. But I feel like the reality is it's very small percentage that's actually how it pans out. If you're getting divorced, it's usually because you guys are not great together. There, for whatever reason, something is going on where you don't make the best team, or you don't communicate well, or you don't trust or respect each other. Like, some shit happened. And so now that's that new dynamic of the relationship. And even if you have kids, that shit doesn't go away. So you have to be real with yourself, and don't feel like a dick or feel guilty if you just can't be around them, or you don't want them in your home, or you don't want to be, even if it's like birthday parties and shit, you guys, you don't have to go to the same party. You don't have to spend Christmas together. You have to check in with yourself and be real with yourself about who you're dealing with and how it's making you feel. And if you have to have two separate birthdays, and if you have to celebrate Christmas on different days, that's okay. Millions of other people are doing it the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that whole putting on that mindset that you are that lifetime special, where you're getting along great, you got matching t-shirts, and you're doing pictures together, and your kids are like, oh, here's my stepmom and here's my stepdad, and the four of us are fucking amazing, all friends. There are people out there that are like that. And then there's the other 90% of us who don't talk after divorce and don't want to hang out and don't want to be friends. And that's okay. We're giving you permission that it's okay that you don't have this great kumbaya story. Whatever works for you, as somebody just said, like, it's okay that you have the great story, and it's okay that you don't, but you got to have self-recognition. And this is what I didn't have early on. I wasn't aware that no matter how hard I tried, it wasn't going to work. We weren't going to be friends. We weren't going to be kumbaya. We weren't going to be these awesome co-parents. We had a short stint, fucking 12 years into it, but the first 12 were toxic as fuck. But I was beating a dead horse, thinking if I was just nice enough, if I just try harder, if I bend over backwards, if I talk not, and all my kids were watching was me get beat down by somebody, and I still kiss somebody's ass. And that's not the vibe that I am now. Now I'm like, boundaries, confidence, fuck you. You're off my list. You're out of my circle. Like, and my kids, I see my kids doing that now with their friend circle. They're like, my daughter will come home, she'll be like, man, this one girl's toxic as fuck. It's like Debbie Downer all the time. Like, I don't like her mindset. I don't like her negativity. She's like, I'm cutting her out. I'm like, I didn't fucking learn that till my fucking late 30s. Like, oh, you mean you can actually cut somebody out of your life and not feel bad about it? She's like, I don't need that shit in my life. Good for you. And she's 17, but it's because I finally showed her that. Your kids are watching every move you're making. Every move, whether it's positive or negative. You might think, oh, I'm being the bigger person. I don't think in high conflict, there's ever really a bigger person. There's just two individual people that deal with it two different ways. You're not being the bigger person. You're just being somebody that gets walked all over. I mean, really think about it. You're never getting thanked. You're never getting appreciated. You're never getting any kind of cordial reciprocal treatment. And your kids are watching that. Yeah, you're being kind to somebody that's disrespectful. Yeah, you're bending over backwards to someone that won't even save your life. Why? Show your kids, hey, I can be distant from that person and still be somewhat cordial and respectful, but I'm not going to bend myself. I'm not going to let myself lose any part of me to help that person out anymore, because they would never do the same to me. I'm going to protect my peace. And as somebody put earlier, by finally kicking him out of my house, I have so much more peace. And it's so hard to rip that Band-Aid off and say the bad thing and say you can't come in and change the locks and don't answer the door and keep the door locked and, shut the door as soon as you. It's hard. That is a hard first step. But that piece of knowing that the three times after that, it becomes just known that that's what's going to happen. You have peace from then on out. And it's so much better. It's so much better. The peace is just, it's unreal. That just the calm of like, I don't have to be somebody I'm not now. It's so great.
protect your peace. Absolutely. It's not a power struggle. It's not about, I want to win. It's not, it's like, I'm being honest with myself. I'm tuning in with myself. I'm uncomfortable with this. You've got to protect your peace. If you're not doing it, who the fuck's doing it?
Exactly. Exactly. So as we're talking about this peace, guys, I know we mentioned it before, but we got to hit home on it. If you are getting ready to go through the holiday season, whether it be this Halloween or Thanksgiving or fall break or Christmas or winter break or New Year's Eve, we're putting out a workshop for surviving the holidays, a holiday workshop. Every link that's out there, go get in there. You're hanging out with us for 2 days. You have the opportunity to ask us questions for 2 days, whether it be about your schedule for holidays, how to handle yourself as a single parent when your kids are gone, when your kids are there and you're broke as a fucking joke, like both of us have been over those holidays, and like, how do we buy gifts when we don't have two pennies to rub together? We have come up with a bazillion solutions. What are some other things that are inside that workshop that you were talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about combating loneliness. If it's your first holiday or even not, but what you're, it's like, this is my first one alone as a single person, or maybe you don't even have your kids on the holiday and you're really going to be by yourself. What can you do? How do you still enjoy the holidays? How do you get through it? We're going to talk about helping your kids handle the differences in the holidays and creating new traditions, setting boundaries with your ex and with your family. Because sometimes, like, there's nothing like the holidays to bring up all the unsolicited advice and like prying questions. Like, family loves to do that shit. So what do you say? Do you get into it? Do you not get into it? Are you being a bitch if you don't want to talk about it? No, we're going to talk about all that stuff and helping you kind of navigate conversations with everybody that you might wind up in. And then how to take care of yourself. There's a lot of shit going on. I mean, it's like shopping, cooking, planning. I mean, like all everything that's happening. Maybe you're hosting. Maybe you got to bring dishes places. With all of that, what are you doing? Like, it's so easy to hit emotional and physical burnout. So you're going to get actionable tools to help keep your stress and your overwhelm down, to help kind of find peace in all of the chaos. It's going to be awesome. Because we've been doing this for years now, not this workshop, but like every holiday, our clients need information like this. Every holiday, every year, this is the shit we talk about. And so we decided to put it all together into a workshop where if this is you and you're stressed about it, you have fear about it, you're worried, you don't even know what to do, it's your first one, like, how do I even deal with all of this? Come into the workshop. You're going to get all of the information that you need. Right.
And even if you can't afford the workshop, which is only $97 for 2 days.
Yes, for the 2 days, you get the whole replay and you get a guide. I created a whole holiday guide with all new
traditions. The guide alone is you wouldn't even have to attend the workshop. You just need the guide. I mean, the guide is fucking amazing. But you get us for 45 minutes of coaching, and then you get us or teaching, and then you get us for Q&A.
Have
two divorce coaches help you answer some of your custom questions. To me, I mean, we're cheaper than a lot of people that are probably in your divorce story right now. So take advantage of that workshop. And then as always, guys, I just like to plug that if you're dealing with the parenting plan, make sure you jump on my link to get the parenting plan workshop too. If you need help with your parenting plan, I do that every single month. So we're doing November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd this month at 11 o'clock Central. Replays are sent out on the same day. But back to this workshop, I just can't tell you enough of like, you could hear one thing that could change how you handle the holidays and it'd be so much better. So it's about being aware that you are struggling first and foremost, you know, like, hey, I am anxious about these holididays coming up. I'm not looking forward to them. I'm nervous about how I'm going to react. I don't know what to tell my family. I don't know what to tell my kids that they're not going to see me for 7, 8, 10 days. Let us help you with that, because why do what we did? We didn't have anybody helping us. We had to figure it the fuck out. We figured it out the wrong way first, every single time. And then we found the right way. Don't do that to yourself. You know, spend a little bit of money to help you figure out what it is that, you know, maybe there's just one solid thing in that workshop that you're like, holy shit. Cause I'm going to tell you my secret weapon for Christmas is the scavenger hunt. And I'm going to go into detail about how to do that for your kids when you're on a budget and you can't afford shit. I'm going to share that. And I have money now and I still do the scavenger hunt, because what I gave my kids when I started that whole thing was a memory that they are going to do with their kids when they get older. It has become something they look forward to all year long. It's tradition. We have already started working on it. This scavenger hunt takes 3 hours to complete. We're going to use the whole town this year. They're going to be in their cars this year going around town to do the scavenger hunt. We're going to get other people involved. My kids don't know that, so I hope they're not watching. but it's going
to
be
huge. You can start small. You don't have to build yourself up to that.
No, dude, at the beginning, my kids, they were literally like 2 and 4 when I started. So it was literally just like shapes that they had to go find in certain locations because they couldn't read. So like I have it for all levels. I've evolved this thing into this master thing, but it's because I couldn't afford gifts. So the event of finding the gift had to be the gift versus what they actually ended up at, like what they actually opened, which was not shit. So you'll find out things like that, you know, how you deal with it when you're by yourself, different ideas, things you haven't thought of, I guarantee you, because I looked at her a whole packet that she made, the workbook for it. And it was just like, holy shit. Like I didn't know some of these things. Like I didn't even know that some of these things existed. So really think about, and what we did last year or 2 years ago was, because you're part of our support group, there's people that don't have their kids that jump on and engage all day long inside our support groups too. So if anything, if you can't afford the workshop, get inside our support groups, because over the holidays, people really lean on each other. A lot of people go and have little Zoom calls with each other and support one another during the holidays and just are there. So nobody feels alone over those times. So holidays are tough. It's a time to be happy. And so if that means you got to ask for help to be happy, fucking do it. I mean, no shame in the game. If you don't know, ask somebody that does, and we know. So we've been there. I highly recommend courses that they offer. Thank you, Jesse. That was a really, really nice thing to say. So anything else that we can throw at them before we log off? I think we'll put this as a podcast, because I think that whole boundaries and not letting people into the house is a really, really good selling point. So if you're listening to this, you have until, when is our holiday workshop? November 6th and 7th?
6th and 7th is November the workshop. Yeah. So coming up, like a week and a half, I think, something like that.
Coming up. And then we will put it for sale even after, but you won't get the Q&A. You won't get the Q&A. You'll just get the training and the workbook afterwards. So if you missed the live, same price, but you just won't get that Q&A. All right. You guys have a good rest of your day. We'll be on this weekend because we haven't seen each other. I was sick this week, so we haven't seen each other that much. So we'll hang out this weekend. We'll pop on live wherever you're following us at. Until then, take care, guys. See you later.
Bye, TikTok. Click the link in the